Welcome to the Progressive Union. I am your host, Doreen DiLeonardo, broadcasting to you from New York City. We report the news the corporate media ignores. Joining me for this hour is my husband and co-host, Tony DiLeonardo. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
I must stop Christmas from coming. But how?
Mr. Grinch, no, we need Christmas.
The one thing I want more than my two front teeth, a Trumpy bear.
Oh my God, Tony, you have your two front teeth. Tony has beautiful teeth. Trumpy bear, it's a thing, right? We were watching, what were we watching, MSNBC?
We were sitting there with our mouths open. This has got to be the stupidest thing I've seen.
We thought it was a joke.
Since the Pet Rock.
No, it's worse than that.
And remember Goo?
No, I don't remember Goo.
It was a big blob of green dippity-doo in a jar.
There's a thing called Goo?
Goo, G-O-O.
I never heard of it.
But this has got to be the number one.
No, this is retarded. Really stupid. Okay, Trumpy
Bear.
They got a
big fat slob. I used to be a Marine, and I'm going to have Trumpy Bear on my motorcycle.
Yeah, but you have to tell them what Trumpy Bear looks like. So Trumpy Bear is a bear.
Trumpy Bear is a combination. It's a bear with Cupid doll golden hair.
Trump hair on the top, a tuffet of Trump hair.
Which is like, remember the old Cupid doll?
Right, and it's parted to the side. And they're like, people are with Trumpy Bear in their golf car, Trumpy Bear on the motorcycle, lady cuddling up with a red, white, and blue flag blanket and Trumpy Bear. Because Trumpy Bear is very... He's very patriotic.
If any one of my listeners wants to send me a gift, send me a Trumpy Bear so I can throw it in the fireplace.
No, you're so funny. Don't blame the bear. It's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous that I thought it was like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Putin's probably sitting there saying to himself, I thought our country had the bear as the symbol.
Oh, you're funny. And they say, for two payments, listen to this.
What is this Trumpy bear?
But this is geared towards the really poor and stupid. Like, you know, the people that in the lower states. It's two payments it's $19.95 and they break it up into two payments. Because these are the people that can't afford to pay $19.95 in one shot.
No, they just don't know how to add.
It's two payments. I swear to God.
They just don't know how to add.
To add, all they have to do is write a check, $19.95. They can't do that. They don't have enough money. So they had to break it into two payments.
Well, I don't know, Mama. Where does my X go? Where does my signature X?
Oh, my God. Trumpy Bear is a thing.
I need my Trumpy Bear.
For Christmas. People want that for Christmas.
I need to put it on the dashboard of that friggin' Dodge Rambler, Ford Rambler.
Now, this is the stupidest thing since
I
heard.
I got sitting on the cinder blocks in the front yard.
Since I heard my first gun. Remember, and they were pink and blue for little kids, like they were 5 years old, which is another problem.
Until somebody gets shot in the head and they both turn red.
Yes, we've had kids get shot by other little kids. Anyway, this is probably going to be the last show for 2018. So, crappy year. Hopefully 2019 is better. But Wall Street, not so good. Okay, the stock market, it looks like that wild ride. It's like Trump had the fumes in the gas tank from Obama, right? The Obama years. And it's just wearing off for who knows for a number of reasons. Like we actually, and we can't mention the name, but I spoke to someone who used to be a financial analyst on CNBC. And he's like, listen, buckle up. Don't make any big changes in your life. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Wait it out till we get a new president. And we have the new president is settled in because I guess they're going to probably have a lot of problems. So, you know, people are freaking out.
What did I say? What if this country is stupid
enough to elect him again? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There's 17 investigations of Trump now. And by the way, all right, let me not get off where I am. All right, let me do Wall Street and then we will talk about some other stuff. So
we're going to talk about Trumpy Bear again.
No Trumpy Bear. But Trumpy Bear's not on the Wall Street, on the stock market yet. The stock market again today, tanking. And it has been tanking. This is going to be the worst month of December since the Great Depression, the actual Great Depression. So that's pretty bad, okay? So Merry Christmas. So we have the Wall Street tanking. And like nobody's gotten their statements yet. for December. So everybody that has 401ks, investments, you know, most people have the retirement or some retirement savings that they're going to pull from when they're old, because when you're, you know, when you retire, you may have a pension, you have Social Security, and then you have money that you've been saving, and most people have it on the stock market because it grows. And they continue to leave some of it on the stock market, so they keep having money to draw upon because you can't live. So
I'm going to hide my fortune in my Trumpy bear.
Oh, you're funny. So you can't get that Trumpy bear is the thing now. It's the thing. When people get their statements in January, they're going to see, or they're calling up now to see how much money they lost. They lost money. Okay, there's no doubt about it. People have lost money. The housing market's on the rocks. We could have inflation coming up. The Fed is raising the interest rates. Finally, they probably waited too long to do that, according to this expert and a lot of other experts.
Oh, gee, I don't know how this happened. Just elect a moron from television. Well, that didn't know a damn thing about the job.
Well, one of the problems with Trump, but some of it's not just Trump.
Doesn't know anything about government.
Well, but you know it's not all
Trump.
Let's
hand off 50 states and 350 million people.
Well, that's true. But let me just elaborate a little bit.
To a blonde cockatoo.
But it's not just him. It's not just his fault. This has been going on for a long time. They put a Band-Aid on the problem, right? And then remember, the Consumer Protection Agency is being run by Mick Mulvaney, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the chief of staff now? He's going to be the chief of staff.
So until he can't take
well,
it
well, he's in charge of that also. And he thinks it's to protect the banks, not to protect us. So watch for your APRs to go up on your credit cards. Okay, so you're going to owe more debt. Interest rates are going to go up, and they're going to go up again. So investors also, because of Trump's trade war, that's his problem and his fault. And because his erratic behavior about everything, it makes investors nervous. And when investors get nervous, and not only that, the bond market, the window is shrinking. That's a sign of recession. So there's a lot of things that can happen, and it looks like could happen or likely in the next two and a half years. So big changes are not a good idea, but it's not good when investors are pulling out and they're leaving and they're not investing and they're nervous. And he makes everyone nervous. But this has been a problem for a long time. We listened to one analyst who said probably if Hillary was president, the stock market would have not in the same way, but we would have probably had unemployment and some recession as well. But we don't know what's going to happen this time. Everyone says it's going to be worse, Alan Greenspan.
Because the problem is the rich do not want to reinvest in the country they make
money. Well, that's another thing. So last year,
and education is a joke.
Garbage. So last year,
kids are coming out of school. They don't know how to do anything.
Almost a year.
Except play on their phones.
An exact year ago, almost to the day, we had the tax cuts, right? And that was for the rich and the corporations, all right? That was the $1.5 trillion that came from all of our entitlements, okay? So we were told by Paul Ryan, by Mitch McConnell, by all the Republicans that this was going to trickle down to all of us, that they were going to create jobs and they were going to invest. You know what they did with it? Exactly what we told you they would do with it. They were going to give it to their shareholders and say Merry Christmas to them and not create one job. As a matter of fact, we've seen jobs disappear. The CEO of Sears drove it into the ground. Sears doesn't exist anymore. GM also, four or five plants gone. All those jobs are gone.
And the people that ran Sears, $25 million bonuses they get.
Yeah, and actually the woman
court awarded.
The woman, the General Motors CEO, she gets $22 million salary, and she just cut 15,000 jobs. And that's just the jobs from the plants, not the people that supply them with steel, like all the related people that are providing parts.
Who's that snotty broad again? What's her name?
Her name is Mary Barra.
Mary Barra. That's
she
the
is
one
the
that
most.
Was, oh, we're grateful for your sacrifice.
She's the most. Oh, yeah, they took cuts in their health insurance and everything, these workers. She is the fifth most powerful woman in the world. So what did she do? She joined the ranks of men that are jerk off, people that don't give a shit about their employees. Good, that's way right. To go, Mary. Way to go. How to use your power, right? throw people off their jobs right around Thanksgiving. Good job, Mary. So you just proved that women can be just as big a jackasses and heartless pieces of garbage as men. Good job, Mary. Applaud you. I hope you choke
Mary,
on a chicken
I
bone.
I hope you wind up with a double mastectomy and cervical cancer back to back.
Oh, my God, Tony.
And a yeast infection.
Oh, my God. In that order. Okay, so things are not looking so good. So Trump can't point to the economy, okay, because the things are not looking good. And he's made everybody nervous, all right? By the way, yesterday, State of New York Attorney General said that they just proved the case that the Trump Foundation was self-dealing. It was just a slush fund for him to pay his legal fees, to buy a painting of himself. None of it was used for any charities that he said. The people are donating money, and they think it's going to be used for who knows, the vets, like whatever.
What moron donated to Donald
Trump? It was never used for anything but him.
What moron?
You want to laugh? Here's something funny. This is really funny. Ready?
Who donated to this
A lot of people did. So listen to this.
You've got to be
Millions.
Kidding me.
So he can't even run a foundation. Completely crooked, as he would say. His son, Eric, who's the other son, Don Jr., Ivanka, and Trump are banned from having any kind of foundation in the state of New York for 10 years. They're not allowed to have a foundation. They can't be trusted because they use the money for themselves, which is exactly what a charity should not be doing.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
That was yesterday.
Ooh, the hell
now, remember,
to check for these people. The first reaction I had was when Donald Trump was.
A lot of rich people have foundations.
Baloney with this. I said, what does he want to get into politics for? He's on television. Oh, no. He's even before that. I was like, I thought this guy, I remember when I saw him.
For years they were trying to get him.
The Apprentice?
1998 maybe?
Yeah. I remember saying to myself when I saw him on TV, I said, what's this idiot doing on TV? I thought this guy was loaded. What does he need this for?
Because he's not loaded.
There you go.
Why would you have to?
That was my first reaction.
Listen, I want to say something. If you need to take $100,000 from your foundation to pay for legal fees because you're involved in some kind of lawsuit, you don't have any money. You're not a billionaire. Do you know that he wrote a check for $7 for his son's Boy Scouts when his son was young? From the charity. No, from the charity. He used $7 from the charity. You think Warren Buffett does that? Bill Gates does that?
I thought it bounced like a Super Bowl.
No, he used the money from the frickin' foundation for $7. He didn't use his own money. He's such a phony. So we have Trump University, right? He had to pay out $25 million to all those people. So the university was a sham. The foundation was a sham. And he was involved in money laundering overseas, Russia, in friggin' New Jersey, Atlantic City. He is a criminal. The guy is a criminal.
I remember back in the 70s, there was this low-budget movie producer, like, you know, the Gene Hackman type in Get Shorty. And his name was Edward Montoro, and he fleeced a small movie company of all. I think it was American International. I'm not even sure I'd have to look it up again. He took all the money, and he vanished. And to this day, they don't know if he's alive, if he's dead. They don't know where he went. They think maybe he was hiding out in South America. They don't know where he is.
Well, we know where Trump is. Oh, and by the way, they took, oh my God, here's the Trumpy bear. Two easy payments of 1995. Oh, it's two payments of 1995. Can you imagine? That's insane. $39.90 for that stupid shit.
I'd like to hold
And there's the commercials right on the website.
I'd like to hold that under my back wheels.
Oh my Lord.
Burn rubber.
What were we saying? Where were we?
Foundation.
So that was yesterday, the foundation. Oh, Flynn. Okay, I'm not going to talk much about Michael Flynn, but he pleaded guilty. He said he lied to the judge. There's no gray area, okay? They could tweet whatever they want to say. They could have press conferences and, you know, all this other nonsense. He told the judge, yes, I know it is illegal to lie to the FBI. The fact that he has to confirm that he knows that, like, who in their right mind would think, gee, I think I'll lie to the FBI because they're coming to talk to me because they want me to lie. They're coming because they know the answer to every question they're going to ask you. And they want to see if you lie.
Why don't they boil it down for these idiots on Fox News?
No, they're telling him that he was railroaded. He was tricked.
I would go on Fox News and say, you dumb, washed out porn whore.
Everybody's saying it.
What is General Michael Flynn, an American general, doing hanging out with Putin?
Well, it's not just... They're talking about the phone calls. They're talking about the phone calls and the text messages and all that. That's really what their focus is.
Patton wouldn't even slap this guy. He'd shoot him.
But that has nothing to do with the campaign. Because he made those visits before he knew Trump.
Could you imagine if Patton was around now?
No, I know. Hey, listen. We don't get to hear the judge, but the judge, because they don't put cameras in the courtroom, the judge was furious at him. He was like boiling over. Steam was coming out of his ears.
Remember what I told you about when he walked out of the courtroom? And I made the case about, I said, watch this sucker head for a plane and try to get out of here.
They took his passport.
And today they took his passport.
Yeah, because he's a flight risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to make sure. You know, this is the reason why the judge asked him, hey, you know, you want
to
wait?
He would have to go to a non-extradition country, and I don't know how many of them are left.
Well, let's put it this way. The judge said that to him. He's going to be testifying in other cases. There are 17 different cases against Trump. There are 17 investigations. And I'm sure Michael Flynn in the next 3 months is going to be testifying in those. So that's why, okay? And the judge, I think, was being like, he was very angry about the Turkey stuff because he was very involved in Turkey. Okay, this is why Obama told Trump, you do not want this guy. I don't know why he was still skulking around. I think he should have been in jail already. Well, so,
That'll settle one more problem.
You're funny. So, that's that. So, we have 3 months. He's going to be sitting and waiting for whatever, his sentence. But I really think that he's going to be a witness in other trials. And that's what the talking heads and the little squares and at all the tables that they have on all these shows discussing, right?
When
the
is
analysts.
When is my favorite talk show guest going to show up to comment on all this?
Who? Who's your favorite?
Triumph the Insult Comic Girl.
Oh, I don't know where he is.
Where is he?
I don't know where he is. He's like disappeared.
I want to hear his slant on the whole
I
thing.
I hope. Yeah,
as
funny.
The cigar falls out of his mouth.
I hope
seconds.
That... What's her name? Michelle Wolf reappears because they canceled her show.
Oh, they can't keep me silent.
That's the problem.
In my big moon boots that I wear.
Know, she should host the Oscars. That would really piss everybody off, right?
She's a hot potato.
I know. I love her, though. I love her.
I'd laugh if they ran to Kathy Griffin.
You know what's unfair? No, but do you see Kathy Griffin as the same problem? Men do outrageous things and say crazy stuff. Stephen Colbert says crazy stuff. Jon Stewart said crazy stuff. They all say crazy stuff and they get away with it. As soon as a woman says something crazy like Roseanne Barr, they get punished. I gotta say, I have a point here. They get punished. Chris Rock, all these guys said all kinds of outrageous stuff.
I got the perfect host for the Academy Awards.
Who?
Since she has not been nominated this year,
who?
Put Meryl Streep up there.
She wasn't nominated this year?
I don't think she's even anything.
She wasn't in a movie? That's why.
Put Meryl Streep up there.
They're like, what? She wasn't in a movie. Look for a commercial. We have to nominate her.
I'm saying, why don't they give it to her?
Because she's not funny. It has to be somebody funny. She's a little funny, but she's not a comedian.
Are you telling me Anne Hathaway and James Franco were funny?
They were terrible.
They were awful.
They suck. That's why.
Franco stood there half the night with his playing on his phone.
No, he was terrible. He was awful. She was awful. That's why they don't want to have people like that. They want somebody who's funny. Michelle Wolf. Oh, my God. The guy that we used to love to watch, but now he's not on anything. The Scottish guy. What was his name?
Ferguson?
Oh, I loved him. Craig Ferguson was the best.
All right. You try him out.
He was hilarious, but they won't bring him because he's like off the loop now. You know, he's on like Yahoo something. Who knows? He left his show. He should have never done that. He was so funny. That was a great show. He had puppets and it was just crazy off the wall. He was one of the best. Anyway, California, this comes from CNN, of all things, and Chris Saliza. I'm not really a fan of his, but it doesn't matter. It's why California leapfrogged the 2020 primary schedule. So usually California is all the way down the schedule in June. And by then, things are kind of decided. You know, they're not game changer. And that's really sad because California is our biggest state. It's our most diverse state, has the most electoral votes. And they are not a catalyst in who the nominees are. You know, they're always beating a path, these people, to New Hampshire and Iowa, right?
Yeah, I know. I can't figure
it out. It's nauseating, okay? I just can't even stand it. So
the New Hampshire primary and the Iowa caucus.
Oh, my God. Every year. So this cycle, California made waves by moving its primary. Excuse me. I think that's the first time I sneezed on camera. I mean,
salud.
Thank you. I think our little baby's crying.
That's a problem.
That would be our little kitten. California made waves by moving up its primary date from June to March on Super Tuesday. California's June date had meant that it was in a group of states that voted next to last in the presidential primaries, followed only by Washington, D.C. Now California will get a slice of the early state action. Historically, it's been so late in the primary schedule that the nominees for president have been determined by have not been determined by if Californians go to the polls. By moving up, we hope to have a real say in determining who the nominees are. So Iowa and New Hampshire still have their, you know, first primary spots to, and they get to woo potential supporters and staffers. And you know what sucks is that they're already going down there. People are already going there. You know, people that are thinking about running for president, they go there to, you know, test the waters, whatever. Some political watchers have argued that states like Iowa and New Hampshire shouldn't kick off the primary nomination process, arguing that those states' populations are more homogeneous, rural, and increasingly look less like the rest of the country, you think? Even South Carolina and Nevada, following Iowa and New Hampshire, are rounding out the historic first four, are relatively smaller with fewer media markets than the behemoths like Texas, New York, and California. Why don't the bigger states go first? Those are the three that should go first. Come here. Nobody ever woos us. Who comes to talk to us? Right? They don't come and see what we have to say. They just come. You know what they come here to do, people? They come here to take money. They have fundraisers, they swoop in, and they have little parties, small parties on Park Avenue, right? Upper East Side, in somebody's house, where people are writing $50,000 checks each, sometimes more, and then they leave. It's like they're vampires sucking the money out of us, and they don't talk to the regular people, which would be like Tony and I, and all the people that we know. They don't come to our club meetings.
They don't want to hear what I have to say, because you know what to tell them? Tell these mofos to pay their taxes.
Right? The argument for moving California up includes...
You love the country so much, but you don't want to reinvest in the country you love so much.
Includes the idea that it gives a better sense of how candidates play in more diverse states much sooner in the game.
They treat this, these rich people, these one-tenth of 1%, they treat this country like it's a hooker. They take what they want, they pay a little, and then they disappear, right. And they, you know...
Here's your little baby.
There she is.
Our little senior cat.
She moves around like a little claymation cat.
I think she's lonely or hungry.
Oh,
where'd she go?
Shame.
Okay. Leading the pack. All right. So they had a CNN had a poll. The Des Moines, Iowa Register and CNN. What about have a poll here? New York Times, Newsday. You know, big papers that millions of people read. How many people read the Des Moines Register? How many people? As many people as live like in Northeast Queens? Not even. Okay, so they had their little poll. Leading the pack, can you believe this? This is the poll. 32% Joe Biden.
Yeah, I heard about this.
90% for Bernie. Beto O'Rourke got 11. Elizabeth Warren got 8. 5% for Kamala Harris. Kamala, just give it up. So, okay, they had a little poll
there.
Where's
Martin O'Malley?
Martin O'Malley. Talking to one guy in a room. Remember that?
Yeah.
How sad.
I felt so bad for him.
It is sad. I really felt bad for him, too. He was, you know what? He had really good ideas, and he was a good candidate, but he had no support from the party. He had no money, and he had no organization. And that's why he didn't go anywhere. And there was a lot of candidates, too, he had to deal with. There were, well, not many. It was, well, Bernie. Bernie and Hillary just took the air out of, they just sucked the oxygen out of everything.
And then Trump sucked the oxygen the rest out of the ozone.
Yeah, that's true. So Tony has a story that I think is going to surprise you, and we're not going to wait till the break because this is a story that we heard about last week, and we were waiting for the mainstream media to report on it.
Which has not done it yet.
And they're silent on this, and this is a big, big deal.
Can I have please. Good microphone?
Oh, yes,
here?
Yes, yes. Well, I'm going to make a swap, and I'm going to check on our little munchkin and make sure that she's okay.
Oh, look out with that cord. No, I don't want to wind up like Luca Brasi with it around my neck. Russia sends two nuclear-capable bombers to Venezuela. Here's Putin pushing the envelope again, like all Russians do.
So can you guys hear this? I think you should repeat that again.
Russia sends two nuclear-capable bombers to Venezuela.
Venezuela is really close
This is
to
out
here.
Of the Associated Press from December 10th.
Right.
Now, this was almost 10 days ago, and nobody's talked
Nothing.
About it.
Now, if you're a little challenged with geography, which is okay, I want you to look and see where Venezuela is. It's
Venezuela
top of South America.
Is right near Aruba.
It's right up there on the top.
Okay.
It is not far from here.
It says here out of Moscow, two Russian nuclear-capable strategic bombers, leave my microphone
I'm
alone.
I'm fixing it so they can hear you.
Go away. Arrived in Venezuela on Monday, a deployment that comes amid soaring Russia-U.S. tensions. Okay. Russia's defense ministry said a pair of Tu-160 bombers landed at Maiquetía Airport outside of Caracas on Monday following a 10,000 kilometer, which means 6,200 mile flight. It didn't say if the bombers were carrying any weapons, and it didn't say how long they will stay in Venezuela. The ministry said the bombers were shadowed by Norwegian F-18 fighter jets doing part of their flight. It added that a heavy lift AN-124 Russian Ruslan cargo plane and a 62-passenger plane accompanied the bombers to Maiquetía. Okay, the Tu-160 is capable of carrying conventional or nuclear-tipped cruise missiles with a range of 5,500 kilometers, 3,410 miles. Such bombers took part in Russia's campaign in Syria, where they launched conventionally armed KH-101 cruise missiles for the first time in combat. Now, they're codenamed Blackjack by NATO. The massive warplane is capable of flying at a speed twice exceeding the speed of sound.
No, this is no joke. This is a serious thing.
Russia has upgraded its Tu-160 fleet with new weapons and electronics and plans to produce a modernized version of the bomber. How much better can this get? Twice the speed of sound?
It can't. This is dangerous. They're very close.
Okay, the bomber's deployment follows Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's visit to Moscow last week in a bid to shore up political and economic assistance, even as his country has been struggling to pay billions of dollars owed to Russia. So we got another Cuba on our hands.
Yeah, and we have these guys teamed up. Uh-huh. This is not good.
Russia is a major political ally of Venezuela, which has become increasingly isolated in the world under growing sanctions led by the U.S. and European Union, which accused Maduro of undermining democratic institutions to hold on to power while overseeing an economic and political crisis that is worse than the Great Depression.
Wow.
Russian Defense Ministry Sergei Shoigu, whatever his name is, said at last week's meeting with his Venezuelan counterpart, Vladimir Padrino Lopez, that Russia would continue to send its military aircraft and warships to visit Venezuela as part of a bilateral military cooperation. Russia sent its Tu-160 strategic bombers and a missile cruiser to visit Venezuela in 2008 amid tensions with the U.S. after Russia's brief war with Georgia.
A pair of Tu-160s also visited Venezuela in 2013. So this is not the first time these planes have come here. Russian-U.S. relations are currently at post-Cold War lows over Ukraine, the war in Syria, and allegations of Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. election. Russia has bristled at U.S. and other NATO allies deploying their troops and weapons near its borders. Asked about the Russian bombers, Pentagon spokesman Colonel Rob Manning said he had no specific information about the deployments. So what's he doing in this cubicle?
Yeah, right? So that's not anywhere on the mainstream media. It's nowhere. It was not reported. This is serious. They're in striking range of us and nothing. Imagine if Obama or Hillary or any other president did not pay attention to this. And today, they're like, we're going to pull out of Syria. Bye-bye, we're leaving. Even Lindsey Graham was like, you know, if Obama did this, if we were Republicans, would have been all over him.
Is that your Scarlett O'Hara screen tears?
No, that's my Lindsey Graham, who is very constipated since John McCain died and has nobody to hang out with. He's all alone.
He's constipated because he's got a hamster stuck somewhere.
Yeah, so that's bad, okay? And Syria, I watched a couple of people, you know, analyzing the situation in Syria, and they said that there's only been some relief recently for people and families in Syria because the American troops are there backing up the people in Syria. So if they leave, it's going to go back to murder and mayhem. Like, these people are actually having sort of a normal life, and they're breathing a sigh of relief for a little while because they're holding it together and they've regained some territory. If they leave, it's just going to be a massacre, and that's because Putin wants to be in there. You know how many people are in there? Putin's in there, Russia's in there, Turkey's in there, and Iran is in there. So you're worried about ISIS? You're going to leave those people with all
of those? Well, I don't think Russia and Iran get along.
They're in there. They're not working together, Tom.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
They're not working together. So those people are caught in that crossfire. So
I hope Iran goes to war with and kicks the crap out of them.
We don't want that. To those people, we've seen video of what's going on there. It's horrible. So these people are just getting some relief. This woman had stayed with families there. And it's like they're actually having a life right now. And they're able to function because the troops are there. You take them out of there, forget it. It's going to be a massacre, like what we saw. We saw some of those news reports of what was going on in the hospitals. Children being
Putin
killed.
Putin was on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Trumpy bear, it's time for you to pull out. And I don't mean Melania.
He hasn't or seen in Melania some in,
or
years.
In some instances, Ivanka.
Oh, my God. You're bad, Tony.
Thank you.
So what are the stories you got?
One more story, and this has to do with football.
Football?
The AAF is starting in February of 2019.
What the hell is the AAA?
The American AAA. That's AAA, dude.
Oh,
the American Alliance of Football.
Oh, AA.
It's AAF.
F.
A year later, we're getting the XFL back again. We're getting a reimagining of Vince McMahon's busted football league from 2001.
Who has money for all these tickets and teams?
You know why they're doing this now? Because of all the sports betting now.
Oh, it's all legal.
You want to bet? This is why. Well, now we have another. We have another. This is out of ESPN. And we have another league on the way. And it's called the FFL. Okay, Ricky Williams, Terrell Owens, among founders for planned FFL. Now, the FFL means Freedom Football League. So another professional football league, the Freedom Football League, has been created by former NFL players, including Ricky Williams, Terrell Owens, and Simeon Rice. I can't stand Simeon Rice. He beat the hell out of the Raiders in 2003 in the Super Bowl. God, I hate him. Simeon Rice.
What a name.
With the intention of reimagining, rethinking, and reinventing and reforming the game, it was announced to Thursday. But the concussions will be the same.
Right.
Williams, appearing on ESPN's Outside the Lines on Thursday, said there are about 50 former players among the approximately 100 stakeholders. Other early founders include former NFL players Byron Chamberlain, Jeff Garcia, and Dexter Jackson. The purpose of this league is about community and the development of players, Williams told Outside the Lines. In thinking about creating this league, I wanted to create a league that I could have stayed in and been comfortable and really thrived. The NFL started a long time ago, and since then a lot of things have changed. And we want to create a league that's ready for the change and invite some more of it. Now, the Freedom Football League said the league would initially have 10 teams with plans to expand into additional locations, and games would take place during the spring and summer. So we're going to have another spring league.
I don't know if it's going to work. I think
to go with these other
ones.
Well,
maybe because of the gambling. You might be right, but...
The league did not say when it would begin to play, though it did say that the first 10 teams would be, here are the names, the San Diego Warriors, the Oklahoma City Power, the Portland Progress, the Texas Revolution, the Ohio Players, remember that band?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
The Florida Strong, the Birmingham Kings, the St. Louis Independents, the Connecticut Underground, and the Oakland Panthers.
Okay.
So the FFL said in a statement that its mission is to attract football players at their highest level athletic ability, including those defecting from the NFL, graduating college or high school, or playing in international or alternative professional football leagues. You know, I forgot about the Arena League, too. There's another league.
Mm-hmm.
It's the indoor league.
I
Arena
didn't know
football.
That existed.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's
but
still
does
around.
Does anyone watch that?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's still hanging in there.
All right.
The league said that would be financed through the combination of private funding and public offerings in 2019, meaning fans would be true owners and legally committed business partners. As for players, the Freedom Football League said it would ensure that they would receive permanent and reliable holistic health and wellness support on and off the field.
That's good.
In addition, the league said it would encourage athletes to address societal challenges and other hot-button issues. We're trying to develop young men, Williams said on OTL. You can't take away their voice and expect them to develop. When I grew up watching football, I really wanted to be like Jim Brown. Not because of what he did on the field, but because he could take that platform and have a voice. And so when I got to the NFL expecting that to be the case, anytime a big social issue came up, we were told, be quiet, it's a distraction. And so really, we were changing the conversation. I don't think Ricky Williams ever talked this much in his time in the NFL.
Yeah, that's funny.
They said he had some kind of a social anxiety disorder.
Maybe he didn't like people.
He went to Canada for a while, and he didn't last long there either.
Hmm. So, in closing, I'm going to say, if you love animals and you want to have a new addition to your family this holiday season,
take one of mine.
Go to a rescue. Go to your municipal animal shelter and go adopt an older dog or an older cat that really needs a home. Not a kitten, not a puppy, but a dog or a cat that always gets passed up. Every time people come, you know, people want to have the babies. Well, kittens and puppies, they become dogs. We just adopted a senior cat, and we gave her a second chance. She was going to be euthanized at Animal Care and Control because after a certain amount of time, if they can't find them a home, they euthanize healthy animals. Now, this kitty has some health issues, but they're manageable, and she's a Spitfire.
Right now, as the meter is counting, she's got about $600 plus health issues.
Oh, stop. So she's got kidney disease, but we give her the special food, and she had some infections, but we got rid of those pretty quick. And now she's fine. She's a happy cat. She plays. She's really sweet, and we gave her a home. We saved a life. So, you know, that's something really nice to do, and it makes you feel a little bit better about the world because you helped an animal, and animals definitely appreciate our efforts, and sometimes we prefer them over people, Tony and I. So that's something that you could do at Christmas time. And if you want to help an organization, you can give a donation to the Humane Society, of which I'm the district leader for our district. They are really the largest organization that fights for animal welfare laws to protect animals. Right now, this administration is killing and hurting more animals than we could even think about. It's so upsetting, but we need your help more than ever. So even if you send $10, $10 from a lot of people makes a difference. So that's something you can do, and you can give that donation in somebody else's name, you know, in their name as a gift for the holidays, who loves animals. So Tony and I, you know, we enjoy being with you. It's been, I think, 5 years we've been doing this, and we wish everybody a happy and healthy new year, and enjoy and be safe. What do you want to say there?
I'm going to cut it short because I have to go sign for my Trumpy bear.
So it gets here by Christmas, so the cats can rip it apart.
Oh, I would. I would use it in a pit bull training.
You're terrible. Video. You're terrible.
Come on, the pit bulls wouldn't even want to take it by touching.
So 1, 2, 3, Merry Christmas.
I must stop it from coming.
See ya.